Jesus himself did not baptize, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee. But he needed to go through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour, that is, 12 noon. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? But Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband, and come here." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." And Jesus said to her, "You have well said, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." And at this point, his disciples came, and they marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no one said, "What do you seek?" or "Why are you talking with her?" The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, "Come, see a man who told me all things that ever I did. Could this be the Christ?" Then they went out of the city and came to him. In the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat of which you do not know." Therefore the disciples said to one another, "Has anyone brought him anything to eat?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do not say, 'There are still 4 months and then comes the harvest.' Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields. They are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he and he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, 'One sows and another reaps.' I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labors." Many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, "He told me all that ever I did." So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. Then they said to the woman, "Now we believe not because of what you said, but we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." Amen. Hallelujah. You know, verse 35, do not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for the harvest. So here we have this wonderful story, this great story. It actually happened, is true, is the word of God. And the disciples are going through Samaria on their way to where? Yes, going to Galilee. And nearing the village of Sychar. And it's about 12 o'clock. And normally you would not be out at that time in the hottest part of the day. But there the disciples are passing and they get to Sychar. The disciples go into town to buy some food while Jesus sits at the curb of the well. It's a well that was known as Jacob's well. Jacob had indeed given Joseph, Sychar, had given them this place. And a woman, a Samaritan woman, comes out from the village to fill her water jar. That would have been quite unusual. Jesus asked her for a drink. And Jesus initiates, he starts a conversation with her, which does eventually lead the woman to acknowledge him as indeed the Messiah. Indeed, she calls him Lord, and it's the first time in the Gospel of John that you see the word Lord mentioned, and it is this Samaritan woman. And she's just had a conversation with Jesus at the well. And I tell you, if boy meets girl at the well in the Old Testament times, it was like a betrothal. They would get married. And this is what you know, Samaritans, do Jews have any dealings with the Samaritans? It's almost as we can't. We could never have intercourse with you. It's a no-no. You're different. You're not like us. But she finds that this is the one who can give her something which will last forever. This man must indeed be a prophet. He must be special. He knows everything about me. And I think she realizes her guilt. Her sins are exposed. But Jesus does not condemn her. He just says, come to me, drink of me. I've got something which will last forever. I can give you forgiveness. I can give you peace. You don't have to work for this. And do you know, she was so overjoyed, she left her water pot behind. Because that was her old life. She's now becoming a missionary. Hallelujah. Praise. That's what a meeting with Jesus should do. Your old life is past. You've now become a new creation in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. You're now serving Jesus, not the world. Praise be to his name. But of course, the disciples, they come back from the city. And they're amazed that the Lord should be speaking with such a person. And on top of this, Jesus has missed his lunch. So they urge him to eat something. But these are such precious words, verse 34. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Hey, that's God. What is your will? Is your will, is my will being conformed, changed? So that we're saying, Lord, as Jesus, the Son of God, came to do your will. And even though it cost him his life, and at one point as he was facing crucifixion, he said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass me by. He says, but not my will, yours be done. You notice that this woman, she leaves her water pot and she goes back to defied her colleagues, defied her friends, defied the men of the village, the women of the village. Come, you've got to see somebody. He's surely the Christ. He knew all about me. He has told me that I can have him as my Saviour. He is the Saviour of the world. He is the Christ. Disciples, they don't recognize, as this woman did, their eyes really haven't been opened yet. They've been with him, but perhaps they're still full of their worries, their religion. I don't know, but they can't behold that this is the Son of God, that this is the Savior of the world. So Jesus says something very important to them. He says, look, look, all around him, the seed had been sown. And they knew it was another 4 months before they could harvest the grain. They knew it. But Jesus is saying something even more important. He says, look, that woman who you despise, but God loves, that woman has gone back to her village. Now look, can you not see the throngs coming to me? Can you not see that they're coming because they want what that woman has found? You're just looking at the natural. But look, the harvest is there. The harvest is ready. I have sowed a seed this morning. It sprung into life. Can you not see the spiritual? And I can imagine that these Samaritans were dressed in white as they were coming to Jesus. The fields already white. Multitudes of Samaritans were coming to believe on him and to be saved for eternal life. Lift up your eyes. See the Samaritans coming to hear the gospel. Friends, there are vast needs all around us. But we who are Christian, we who are the sheep, not the goats, we who are sheep have been commissioned with the high task of being co-laborers with God in his harvest. And I believe God is working in people's lives. I believe even in this day, and I know it's happening, I know there's fields really white for harvest in different parts of the world, and the harvest of souls are being gathered in China, in Korea, in India, in parts of Africa, praise be to the Lord. And we in the West have hardened our hearts. We don't acknowledge God. We say, we will do away with you, Lord. We will do our own thing. We're going to live for today. But I believe, as we fulfill our task as ambassadors for Jesus, as those who have been reconciled to God with Christ in Jesus, we will reconcile those. We will present the biblical truth, the gospel. There will be many who believe. I do believe that. Friends, we've got to be doing our master's business. We've got to. Too many of us have become flabby Christians. I believe in doctrine. I believe in the word of God. But friends, we can have study upon study and not get out there and do the commission that Christ has given us to do. Go ye into all the world. Making disciples. Not making decisions. I don't believe there's rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who makes a decision, but over sinners who repent. There's glory. And I believe that people like this dear woman will, as they are confronted with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, as they see Jesus in us, will fall at their feet. I believe this morning, as some symbolically fell on their feet and on their stomachs before the Lord, I believe that's symbolic of what will be happening in the coming days in Crawley and beyond. People will be falling on their knees. What must I do to be saved? You have the words of life. You've been saved. Tell me, are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Some of us, we're so enclosed in our little space There's a world out there. There's school children. There's college friends. There are family members who have yet to be saved. We've got to get right with God. We've got to repent of our indifference. We are citizens of heaven, but we have a mission here on earth. Are some of us stagnating? I tell you, a stagnating saint stinks. But I want to be a sweet smell. How do we bring glory to the Father? How do we bring glory to the Father? How do we bring glory to the Father? Jesus tells us. He tells us in the Gospel. He tells us in that same Gospel, John chapter 15. He says, you'll bring glory if you bear much fruit. You'll bear much fruit. There's a harvest out there. Friends, let's have the biblical mindset. Last weekend, I was privileged, as you know, to be speaking up in North Wales. And I thank God for the Spirit of God who moved, particularly amongst the young people. And importantly, the will to do God's will. Don't let us be ashamed of the gospel. Don't let us be ashamed of this truth. I tell you, friends, I've been questioning because I've been challenged even this week. I'm not sure if this building is going to be big enough, the extension. I don't know if it will be. I don't know if we've got to re-look at what we know God has told. We know God has said, extend, move the borders. We know we've got to have room for the children's work, for the youth work and so on. But does God want us? Does he want to stretch our faith even more? I'm asking you to pray with me that we really, really do hear from the Lord. That we don't limit God. We were so encouraged, were we not, by the generosity of the people here. But God is even more generous, and it's his anyway. Have the mindset. You see, we've got to think God thoughts. We've got the case of the Christian bakers in Northern Ireland who refused to bake a cake for a same-sex couple, and so they obviously will be persecuted and so on and so forth, are being persecuted. These are things which we are to expect. We've got to think Christ and believe that Christ will step into the situation. Our sister shared a testimony earlier this morning how the Lord broke through. Hallelujah. He did what man could not do. He moved the judge's heart. He moved the Home Office. Hallelujah. He can do that. For those who are still waiting for visas or passports, continue praying. See what God will do. See, the mindset of the world, we are to preach the truth. We've got to point people to Jesus. We've got to see dead sinners come to life. The Spirit will convict. They will convert when we present the truth in Jesus. When they see the love, the fullness of Christ in us. Hallelujah. It will get us into trouble from the religious people. It will get us into trouble perhaps from even family. And the words of Jesus will come true in our life. Brother against sister, dad against son. But we put him first. And he will honor and obey. This week, his sister dying, Bill is being discussed and debated. It's a work of the devil. It will have good things about it, as always. We're told that because some irresponsible, totally immoral men and women have children upon children upon children, that benefits will be cut. And a whole discussion is taking place now in high authority, but not God's authority, earth's authority, that families will be limited to four if you have more than four, or even two, they're saying. You will not have child benefits. That's the secular world mindset. It's not God's. And we've got to have the mindset of the Lord, but we've got to sometimes speak out on these things and show forth the light, the love, the truth as it is in Christ Jesus. We're not of this world. We belong to Jesus. Our citizenship is above. Hallelujah. He is reconciling the world through Christ back to God. And we have been given the ministry of reconciliation. We are to be salt. We are to be light. We are different. We were like that. But by God's grace, our eyes have been opened. Hallelujah. Who will be on this journey that we don't hide the fact that we have this treasure within us? We've got to share him with others, making the most of every opportunity. Hallelujah. I don't want this church to stagnate. I don't want this church to be busy with its programs. I want this church to be alive to the things of God and winning souls for Jesus. He who wins souls is wise. Hallelujah. We have an amazing calling. What a glorious privilege. And you know, the living God is making his appeal through us. I ask you, is that how you live? Is that how I live? Is his will what moves us and motivates us? Are we dominated and driven by his mission? If we've got drive, we've got crusty, well, let's just humble ourselves now before the Lord. I do believe God is in this place. And I do believe, friends, that Christ is calling us to look up, out from beyond ourselves, to focus on Jesus, and to focus on those whom he will save and add to his church. Jesus said, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. I will say to you, the time for excuses is past. The time of mission is here. Hallelujah. Lo, I am with you, even until the end of the world.